Visit patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast and become a patron of the show. Our patrons are special people who are invested in our message as we rescue the art of homemaking from the daily grind. You will receive digital versions of each of our cookbooks, and fangirl patrons get special video access to each episode. Thank you so much to our patrons. We can't do it without you. Become a patron at patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. And now, let's rock this show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. We're trying to do it with a smile on our face and remember that the work we have...
I'm smiling!
The work we have before us. Remember Ally McBeal? Did you ever watch that show?
No, that was, my time.
Yeah, you were probably like four. there was a character who did smile therapy. And like when he was having a bad day, he would just be like, I'm smile therapy.
It's fine. We're fine.
We're fine. Everything's fine. We are doing smile therapy and reminding ourselves that the work we have before us is important and it matters and we can do it without being a hot mess. We can do it with panache and with flair and with actual skill. And that's what one of the reasons we're here is to help you develop that skill. And we're right alongside you, trying to get better at everything we do within the home and trying to keep those pesky attitudes in check, which today mine is in the gutter. So
maybe this conversation will help a little bit.
Just being real.
Yeah.
I put
Sometimes
on some shiny
to
lips to try to like, come on. Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I was working out the other day and I was deadlifting and I really enjoy deadlifting, but I was getting ready. I was like on my last chunk. What do they call them? It's like sets, you know,
chunk.
I was already
on my last chunk,
really tired. And I literally looked at myself in the reflection of the tunnel screen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, B, you're picking this weight up. You can do this.
I love it when you see like the 87-year-old grandma's deadlifting
150 pounds.
You know, have you seen those reels or whatever? Well, I guess I better get my fat butt over and do the final set. Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. And a good reminder that sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Don't listen to yourself. Talk to yourself.
Right.
And just
Don't
say,
listen to yourself. Talk
come
to yourself.
On, self. You can do this. You can do this. And if you
Let
need
your
a little encouragement,
outer monologue override your inner monologue. Mm-hmm. And smile therapy.
So we talked so much last Monday about
Tudes.
Doing, about attitudes, about discipline. And I'll tell you, there was this moment last week where I knew I needed to go to the PO box because I had to file my renewal. Okay. And like send off a package.
Yeah.
And it's these small things, but sometimes I really avoid taking care of little things like that.
Oh, no. Going to the post office will incapacitate me.
Yeah.
It just takes me off at the knees.
If it tells you how undisciplined I've been about this, the renewal was due in July.
Oh, that's great.
Here we are. I was at a stop sign. I could go right to go to the post office, or I could go left to
for
go
a latte.
Down and get a coffee.
I called it.
And wouldn't you know, ladies, I thought about our conversation and I was like, you will turn right and you will do this hard thing first before you get a coffee. Then I got a coffee and it was like
delicious.
No, it was like $5.90 for a tall. And I was like, I'm never doing that again. And we also talked about all the money stuff on another episode. I was like, I'm sorry. That's a stupid amount of money for a tall latte.
Well, and you know, you and I, like for the person that's trying to take their home, like me, I'll just use myself as an example. I'm literally trying to make my home its own little world. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, so part of that little world includes a coffee bar with just the best. Okay.
Yeah.
I got the fern milk. I got the maple syrup that my son's friend harvest down the road.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm roasting the beans. I'm doing the things.
Yep.
Nothing tastes as good as the latte that I can make myself, you know?
No, but and I was out of milk.
When you go out and you're like, I went to the post office first. Could it just be worth it?
I feel like my dad, you know, like, how much was that? I couldn't even enjoy it. I was just so angry at myself.
It's like when you go to like Target or Hobby Lobby and they give you your total at the checkout. You're like, I'm sorry, what? $124 on 4 made in China paintbrushes and a paper plate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Oh. Well, here we are taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a $5 latte if that you want to. Don't let what I'm saying ruin your day. You can do that.
Go to the post office first.
Can I show you something for patrons who are watching the podcast?
What are you wearing? Is that an Italy shirt?
Yeah, it is.
Because I've not seen that before. It looks like a Dolores shirt. Did you steal something from Dolores?
No, it's mine. See, here's the thing about Italy. These are these shops that get you because you go and it's 145 degrees and you try something on and you're so sweaty that you literally can't get it off. Like, there's no way you could take it off and put your sweaty clothes back on. So there's multiple things that I bought just simply because I couldn't squeeze my sweaty self back into my clothes. I'm not kidding. This is one of those shirts.
My goodness.
Actually, I need to tell you about this lady. Can you guys see it?
Yeah, yeah.
She was a French artist. Her legs came up to my neck. She lived.
I hate her already.
On this incredible island called Alicudi. And she had a small little house there, a small little art studio. And I walk into it and she makes jewelry and she paints. And she had racks of vintage clothes that were her mother's, perfectly preserved, pressed for sale. And I said to her, this was one of the shirts that was there. And I said, how are these clothes in such good condition? I mean, these are like from the 60s, I would guess, maybe even the 50s. And she said, well, my mother took good care of them, and so did I. Like, she didn't understand the question. Like, why wouldn't they be in good condition?
They didn't end up behind her washing machine, damp.
She didn't accidentally put one into a bleach load.
Right. It didn't end up as, like, a cow udder rag. She didn't strain milk with it.
Exactly. I just was like, that is so inspiring to me. Like, you're right. I don't have to be a schmuck. I could be better.
It's one of my favorite words ever.
I know. It's true. That's not what I was going to show you.
Okay.
I cleaned my room. So we talked last Monday about a cleaning schedule, about how my way of sort of taking care of my business in terms of housekeeping is breaking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Tuesdays because Tuesdays are my room cleaning day, which is where I'm at right now, by the way. Anyway, I put fresh flowers out in my bedroom each day. And I'm sorry, each time I clean it. Look at these. Look at the little remnants from the garden. Aren't these just so pretty?
Yeah, dahlia and more dahlia. Yeah, yeah.
So I have them sitting in front of me while we're recording and it's that makes me really happy.
I have mine in here. I have three. Yep, I do have one behind me. Three, that one's the smallest of all of them. Like Lysianthus bouquets that are like 3 feet wide.
Wonderful.
They're just giving them all she's got, Captain. It's so great.
You have such a perfect climate for growing flowers.
I do.
Like cutting flowers. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Lysianthus, they just started last. I mean, it takes them all summer.
Yeah, but I mean, your summer is just a little bit more mellow.
Oh yeah, you're like hellfire and brimstone out there.
It's like it's a good amount of heat and moisture and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going today, ladies. We're going to the garden. I wish we would do these episodes. Whatever we talk about, I'm always inspired to go take care of.
Yeah.
We talk about money, I go budget. We talk about and my garden is a wreck right now. Just a wreck. So I'm hoping that this conversation spurs me to not be such a loser.
Okay, listen to this. Genius, genius move. I was in my garden the week before I went on my trip And I pride myself on keeping my garden weed free-ish. Okay. To the point where it fools the eye. People walk through and they're like, dang. I'm like, well, you just don't see them. But that train had come off the track the 4 weeks before I went to Paris, just because I was doubling up on so food prep and work, you know, double YouTube, all that stuff. And I just about had a nervous breakdown. If this goes another 2 weeks, you know, I travel for 10 days and then I get home, I recoup, and then I finally get back out. I'm gonna lose it. It's gonna be lost because this pods are gonna fall to the ground, and I'll, you know, a decade of weeds because of the seeds. So I paid a friend to weed my garden while I was gone. And she just crushed it. And it was not in the travel budget, but probably the best money I've spent this year, because I came home to a small slice of sanity and 2,000 tulip bulbs. So had I not done that, I would just be probably wouldn't be recording this show. I'd be curled up in a corner sobbing. I have just a ridiculous amount of bulbs to plant, and the David Austin order, the partial, just came today. So not the bare roots, but the little 2 quarts. So there's a lot to do, and our weather just turned. I don't know how it's gonna go down.
It's that time of year. I mean, it is go time. Also, that's a heck of a friend. Not only that would come and do that even for money, but that knew how to do it.
Oh,
Do
yeah, she's
you
a
know what I
she
mean?
used to own a flower farm, and I thought she might like to do it. She's renting and doesn't have a garden right now, so I thought you can just, I mean, even pulling weeds, I'd be happy to pull somebody's weeds if I didn't have a garden, just to be
Just to be
out.
outside.
So
What if you could have heirloom linens that didn't end up on next year's garage sale? What about investing once in an American-made product designed to last a lifetime? Shay and I both dress our beds and our bathrooms in sheets and towels from American Blossom Linens, and you can too, by visiting AmericanBlossomLinens.com and using our exclusive coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off. Our friends at American Blossom Linens are dedicated to bringing us quality American-made linens that can stand the test of time and be beautiful at the same time. We affectionately call them modern vintage. They are soft and plush and gorgeous, and we know you will love them as much as we do. So visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off.
This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Tubes & Co. Tubes & Co. believes in skincare products that nourish and restore and come from simple, wholesome ingredients. Emily began crafting skincare and makeup from her farmhouse kitchen after discovering how organic tallow, high-quality cold-pressed olive oil, and other quality natural ingredients made a huge difference in her skin and in her family's wellness. Now, Tubes & Co. has expanded to not only include beautiful skincare, but also wonderful makeup products. These are products that I use on my skin every single day. I wash with the charcoal bar, and then I move on to the glow serums and the hydrating serums, all the makeups, all the bronzers, all the highlighters, the mascara, the eyeshadow. It's all so clean and so good. Visit tubesandco.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC for a 10% discount. Last year, we finally took the jump into the freeze drying world with a beautiful new freeze dryer from Harvest Dry, and we are so glad that we did. As a homemaker and gardener, these freeze dryers have the very important job of making sure that nothing, whether it's a bountiful crop from the garden or leftover soup from Sunday supper, go to waste. These incredible machines are very versatile. You can use your freeze dryer to preserve dairy, meat, produce, and even complete meals. Here's the very best part. Everything is completely automatic. You literally just fill the freeze dryer trays, push the start button, and walk away. Preserving food can be that simple. Freeze-dried foods last for 25 years in your cupboards and will maintain taste and color and flavor. The food retains nearly all of its nutritional value, and home freeze-dried food costs one third the cost of store-bought, which means your freeze dryer from Harvest Right will pay for itself in no time. This is the perfect season to order your freeze dryer so you can have it set up
and ready for spring and summer bounty, whether you're freeze-drying fruits, vegetables, herbs, milk, or even eggs. Harvest Right machines are the best on the market and will soon become an invaluable player of your preserving kitchen. Visit bit.ly/harvestrighthomemaker or click the link in the show notes to shop your new home freeze dryer system from Harvest Right today.
Homemaker Chic listeners, we are so excited to introduce you to our newest sponsor, Alaska Gold Seafood. This is the seafood that Angela and I have been stocking our freezers with for years because it is so incredibly delicious. They catch it in the waters of Alaska and deliver it right to your doorstep. This is a fisherman-owned cooperative that focuses on quality and service. They offer customers hook and line caught wild salmon, halibut, black cod, rockfish, and more. They are a pillar of the community in Sitka, Alaska. Alaska Gold offers small boats, independent fishermen with co-op values. Visit alaskagoldbrand.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKERSEAFOOD for 10% off your first order.
Well, it's not good here. So I'm glad that one of us, we can. I'll take the bottom.
Oh, no, it's not good.
You take the top and we'll meet in the middle.
That is the good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. So yeah, I texted Angela a couple nights ago. This was late. I knew it was late her time, but I was feeling it. I couldn't help myself. And I was like, I am just really ready for some old school homestead inspiration. You know, the kind, Do you remember that back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Because everything was new.
Yes.
Everything was just fascinating.
Yeah.
I do. I remember that. I just felt like I was constantly coming around a corner and discovering something new.
Yeah.
Discovering some new skill that I could learn or just some anything. There was so much newness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For years.
For years. Yeah. Because you would, you know, like, for example, like I started with chickens that I hid in my garage, you know, and then 18 months later, then you take the turn and you're raising meat birds. And then, and then all of a sudden you have a hen that goes broody and you have a clutch, or then you have an incubator on your kitchen counter and you're washing dishes and you hear a duck hatching, you know, it's just like every, just always something new. Yeah.
Yep. It's, and there's still so much on our farm that is that way, but it doesn't have this, that same like sort of newness. And in a way, I'm sort of grateful for this season and just this idea of really putting our intentions to things and getting it taken care of. Because even looking outside and just looking at the farm and just kind of observing where things are right now, I'm like, you need to, in order to tackle what is yet to be done before winter, like you need to remember that feeling. You need to remember why you're doing this. You need.
I always just say, restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation, because
it's true. It's like I told Stu, you know, at one point this summer, it was really hot outside and there was so much produce. And I was just like, I did it. Like 10 years ago, I didn't know how to do this. I had to learn all of this, and every vegetable is different, and every growing climate is different, and every soil is different. And like, look what we've done. Look what we've created. The downside of that is that it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And Stuart often has to remind me, like, we can grow things and use this farm to grow things, or we can have a pretty farm. Really hard to have a birth.
Darn you, Stu.
Darn you and your pragmatism.
Right.
But it's really true. So on one sense, let's talk about the vegetable gardens. Let's just go in, because a lot of people grew gardens this year.
A lot
of people really focused on it. How was your vegetable year?
It was okay. Like, to be honest, when you send me pictures, I'm like, what sort of magic voodoo is she doing over there? I think I just still underplant. I don't plant enough. I think my vegetable growing space, as big as it feels to me, isn't what it needs to be to put up as much as I want to put up. Because sometimes when I, like, I'll harvest my peppers and I'll go, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many plants do I need, for crying out loud? You know, everything did pretty good. I can't figure out cabbage here. I can do purple cabbage here, but we've been recording this show for 2.5 years, and I've probably said that on every gardening episode. I can't get a head to form on my green cabbage. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at a total loss. They're this big right now.
Oh, goodness.
And in other farms, like, I've brought in just ones the size bigger than my head. You know,
from your same area.
Yeah.
Well, could it be the variety?
I feel like I've tried every variety. First, it was like, okay, well, I'm not really happy with, what's the big seed company I used to use? Seed Savers. You know, I switched from Seed Savers to Johnny's a few years ago. And
yeah,
I don't know. Can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, okay. I should take some responsibility there. It's probably that we need a watering system. Yeah. It's probably, I know cabbage do not do good if they get a little bit too dry when they're just seedlings. And that's probably what happened in the early, early days of spring, because that can happen here where we go without water. And I'm like, oh, everything looks good. Everything's doing okay.
It's like stunted in a way.
Yeah. Stunted. Yeah. Exactly. So
vegetables are interesting, because flowers to me make sense. Like, you put in all this effort for all this beauty, mm-hmm. and vegetables, you get food, but they are a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetables are a lot of work. And, you know, you used to grow vegetables because you kind of had to. It was like, this is a way for us to save money. Literally. This just helps for a good portion of the year.
Yeah.
So, like, thinking about that newness of homesteading, like, I remember very vividly my first garden. I remember pulling off my very first produce that I ever grew by myself in a garden was radishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it off. You guys probably remember the story. I pulled out the radish and I cut it in half so Stu could have half and I could have half. And there was a maggot in it. One of those little cabbage worms. And it was really depressing. But even still, I thought it was the best thing ever. You know, it was just like this huge excitement of growing something. Like, how mm-hmm. do we remember that feeling when there is so much to take care of?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer to that.
There's someone knocking at my door.
Yes. Hello? Who is it?
Yep. They never do that, so I thought I better respond.
Is someone bleeding?
Right.
Sometimes I feel like what happens is we're so busy, especially like now we're homeschool moms and it's like mm-hmm. you're working and you got all this stuff. Sometimes I have to remember to like go outside and just be with my plants, be with my vegetables, because that does make me happy. And it's easy to sit in here and be like, hey, there's weeds out there. Hey, there's weeds out there. Hey, you need to go add new compost. Remember all mm-hmm. that poison ivy that's growing in your bed, and just beat myself up over it. Instead of just being like, hey, why don't you go out there with a little basket and just enjoy it for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, you know, we've been saying a lot lately, like thinking about it isn't doing it. And there really mm-hmm. is something to, you know, there are the garden season is like so cyclical in that it's just like full on, you go just nuts those first few weeks trying to get everything in. And then it's easy to, in your mind, think that's still happening. And you're thinking about your garden, but you're not in your garden, you know, and I have to do the same thing. I have to remind myself, you need to go do a walkthrough, because it's like the cabbage. When I don't do that, I think everything's okay. Looks okay. It looks okay from my bedroom window. Everything looks good, you know, but it's the boots on the ground are so important.
Yep.
And just staying connected, because it, you know, it needs you.
Yeah.
Really. You need to have such an intimate relationship with each bed and each row. And it's really easy to become disconnected from that really quick. And then you pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's reflective too of a lot of things with homesteading, where it's easy to not want to go out to milk when it's really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then you curl up under your cow and you smell her and you hear the milk and you're like, oh yeah, this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting off the starting line is the hardest part. And then once you're doing it, I did this the other day. My boys, bless them. They earn a very small amount of money each day feeding and watering the animals. And they're so darling. And they'll, you know, you'll see them throwing the flakes of hay over and the buckets of grain for the chickens. They're so sweet and they do a really good job. So I don't really have to go out to the chickens that much anymore because they take care of them. They freshen up their bedding and everything. But the other day I was really crabby, frankly, and I didn't know what to do with myself. So I just got a glass of water, just went and took a little lap outside and ended up at the chicken coop. And I just sat there and watched them putz around, just watched them, you know, I checked for eggs and just kind of stared at them. And like my soul was so happy, made me so happy to just be with them and be like, oh yeah, this whole homesteading thing. Like this isn't some show. This isn't for some YouTube channel. Like this is our life. This is what we love. This is what we've labored for and worked so hard to build. And you want to do right by it. You want to do well. You want to learn. You want to grow. All the things. Yeah. So now, you know, going into next year, plant more. Plant more what? Plant less what? Let's talk about crops.
Yeah. So I didn't do enough onions this year. Usually I do about 1,000 and I didn't this year. It's kind of a bugger. So definitely want to go back to 1,000 onions because that helps. And I've not done garlic since we moved here either. So I'll be putting garlic in for next year, which I'm really excited about. It's like so basic, but I always just end up buying it at the farmer's market. You know, just do your own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
More or less what this year I actually really did pare down. I didn't do Romanesco broccoli or anything like that. I just kept it really, really simple. Lots of carrots. You know, I didn't do a big kale bed because I'm sort of over kale. And
carnivore really just kind of ruins kale for you a little bit.
Yeah. Like, can I just grow a steak? Is there a steak plant?
That's how I felt when we did our wine. I was like, we grew wine in our garden.
This
is amazing. Right?
This, not this, I can get behind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah, we cut out a lot of specialty things this year. One crop that I really want to get a hold on is okra because no one grows it here. Which makes no sense. We have great climate for it.
Okay.
So you can't buy it at a market. They don't sell it. They don't sell it at a grocery. There's no grocery store here that sells okra. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
And I can grow it really well. But the bugger about okra is like, you basically have to harvest it twice a day. It grows my okra, y'all, I'm not kidding. The stems of my okra plants are like 6 inches thick. They are
a tree trunk.
Huge. They probably stand 7 feet tall. And so they'll flower and then they'll form their little okra pod. And that pod is really tender and really good for a very short period of time. And then it gets tough. So you have to harvest it in that window. And I'll be danged if I just can't get out there twice a day to harvest okra pods, you know? So then I didn't put up any okra. We've eaten some fresh, but I haven't put up any. It's making me crazy. I wanted to have jars of freeze-dried okra for like gumbos and those stews and stuff like on the shelf. And I didn't.
I'm done trying to grow watermelon.
Oh, watermelon can just go back to where it
every
came
year,
from.
What happens? I cave to my kids every year. Every year they beg.
I'm they like, want little fine. Sugar baby. You want little sugar
yep,
babies?
Yep, little moon and stars and whatever. Yeah. Like you can have that bed for watermelon. And the bed just ends up going to weeds.
Yeah.
And there's my extra 400 onions right there.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
I'm done growing squash. Frankly, I know that is not a very popular opinion in the homesteading world. So that's what we can eat in winter. I'll grow sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I'd rather
get squash from my farmer. And I'm done trying sweet corn. It's not happening. Okay. Too many deer. Yeah. None of, it's just, no. It's just the farmer down the road grows it and he's like, help yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll take that, please. Yeah. Yeah, those, the big, I mean, sweet potatoes vine. I mean, mine are currently covering, I think, 3 beds. They're bad, mm-hmm. but they're not susceptible to squash bugs. There is zero maintenance for sweet potatoes, and you don't even put them in until June. So you can flip that bed around with something else before you ever plant sweet potatoes.
Right.
And
get your arugula game on, and then
yeah, and you're not, you know, you just get your little sweet potato slips. You can make those yourself, or you can just buy them. And so, It's not like a squash where you're like, I'll start you in my greenhouse, and then we'll do this, and they'll transplant out, and don't die. And then a squash beetle comes, and you gotta
squash
like
beetle, right?
Get the eggs off the back of the squash leaves with duct tape or whatever. Like I'm squash
so
and
over,
zucchini.
Yeah.
There. I don't know what I'm, there's just too many squash beetles. I don't know what to say. And I don't care enough for them to sit out there and fight for them. Like I'll fight for a tomato or I'll fight for my peppers.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had like a zucchini metamorphosis here because I used to just grow it like crazy and my kids loved it. When we were broke, we'd eat like zucchini surprise with scrambled eggs every night, you know? And now that like most of them don't like it. I don't know if I overdid it when they were little. And I like it, but I don't need it. I'd rather have the blossom to stuff.
Yeah,
quite
same.
Frankly,
same.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about most squashes. My favorite would be like I like acorn squash. I like delicata squash. I love butternut squash. But like you could 100% sub in a sweet potato for any of those things. And
I don't like handling the squash. I don't like having to carve out the seeds. I don't like having to like...
No. It's unpleasant.
Bake them and then they're sticky on the tinfoil. I just don't like the whole like culinary wise, like the movement in the kitchen. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that at all.
I don't enjoy that either. And I would rather preserve the summer food and eat more meat in the winter than eat squash. So what I've done in the past is because this is what good homesteaders do is they grow all these different varieties of squashes. And oh, isn't it romantic? And then you shove them in your garage or in your root cellar or under your bed or whatever. And you're like, oh, great. Look at all this summer or winter food. And I'm amazing. And then come end of January.
You have to clean out your cooler and they're moldy. And you're like, wow, that was fun.
So glad I did that. I'm so glad I did that so that I could.
It looked good on Instagram.
Every week to the chickens until spring.
Exactly.
You're welcome, chickens.
Like, right.
What a waste of energy. And some people probably really love squash and they probably love really growing it and they probably really love eating it. And that is awesome for you. And that's what's so cool about gardens is that they are hyper reflective of the gardener.
For sure.
And of the family that's eating the things from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, our biggest victory this year, drum roll, please. Do you know what it was?
No, I'm trying to think back of things you've said. No.
Potatoes.
Really?
Angela, these potatoes would blow your mind.
Did you do them in the big spot? Where did you do them?
I did two. So I had like 20 by 15 feet. I got two of those beds and I did them. But do you know what the difference was? I did like 2 feet between each plant. So classic newbie move is that you're like, oh, well, if it says 6 inches, I could get 30% more of a harvest if I did them 4 inches. You know what I mean? Like you try to push things. You don't give things that you don't give things space. You don't prune things because you're like, but this is all the growth that it has. And you know, you're not confident.
Right.
My potatoes for the last couple of years, basically since I've been growing potatoes, have just not been great. Not been consistent, been fairly small in size. And I just had it. This was like my Hail Mary. I was like, I'm going to plant these stupid things 2 feet apart. So I needed a quarter of the seed that I ordered, which was great because potato seed's fairly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody gave me the advice to give them a really deep water, like 24 hours of a sprinkler, but only like every 2 weeks. So instead of watering them a little bit, you water them once really deep and then let them completely dry out. And so that's what I did. And now my potatoes are huge and plentiful and really great size. And it just feels like the biggest victory because I wanted to give up.
Yeah. It makes me sad. I used to be so good at them. And here, like, our soil's so shallow.
Yeah.
I just can't get it. Last year I built it up, like tried to grow them in compost, and we're harvesting them. So I was like, this is so much work for nothing. For just, you could order a big 50-pound bag on Azure. This is ridiculous.
There are genuinely garden tasks where you do have to calculate your time into the equation in some way.
Yeah.
So our potatoes were the same way last year. It's like all hands on deck. We all went out to the potato beds. We spent an entire Saturday digging this bed, and we ended up with like two lugs of potatoes that were, you know, this big.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, that's not feeding anyone, you know?
Right. Right.
They're not pleasant to cook with because they're so small. So if you want to, you're like peeling them. It's just weird.
Right.
There are genuinely some tasks. That's the first one that comes to my mind where you're just like, my time is worth something.
Yes.
I'm willing to trade it for this garden work because I see value in it beyond what I could buy this for at the farmer's market. But there is a limit to just being ridiculous.
Right.
Especially when there are children to homeschool. So the interesting thing about the potatoes is that we didn't really bury them that deep, you know, maybe 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And when I harvest them, I haven't pulled my whole harvest out yet, but when I harvest them, the potatoes are all up. I didn't mound them. That's not the right word. Mound them at all. And they're all kind of within that 6 inches of topsoil. Like, they're not deep. You're not having to like dig them out.
Do you never hilled them or anything? You just let the plant get as tall as it wanted to?
Yeah.
And you're still getting a good harvest.
Yeah. I didn't do anything to them except for weed them.
That's very interesting.
I weeded them a couple times and I watered them every couple weeks. That's it.
Cool.
But I gave each plant like space to be. And I think that was the biggest difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that with people sometimes. If people are kind of like plants in that way, like peas, for example, you can plant them really close together and they just sort of like intertwine and cling to each other and support each other and climb the little thing. And then like potato plants or tomato plants where you're like, we need to be alone.
Right.
You need my space. Give me my space.
Personal space. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel very grateful to have the garden space that we do. Right now I feel a bit guilty just because the frost is, have you guys had a frost yet?
No, everything. It's really weird. It looks fabulous out there. The roses, I have so many roses blooming right now. So much red leaf, like new growth that could turn into some, it's incredible. They're going crazy. Flowers are going crazy. Snapdragons are still going. We've had a few beater storms. Mm-hmm. So there's some beds, you know, that look really beat up. Some really strong winds yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot dying back. And whatever is dying back looks really beautiful. It's just this really beautiful time. I love this time right now where it's still really lush. And then you have the beautiful... the structure of the seed pods of things that have died back. And it's beautiful. We haven't had a frost yet. Not even a light one. So.
Isn't that nice? It's been, it seems late. We usually have ours the first week of October. And we're like in the clear for a while still.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to stop feeling guilty about what's still out there. And I just need to get out there and get it in.
Yeah. I'm just really trying to enjoy it. I was out there all day the other day and it was stunning. Mm-hmm. And just stood back, and now we have the backdrop of the color of the forest, which is magnificent and not even to its full color yet. and just trying to take it all in, because I know it will switch, like a it will flip like a switch. I did go ahead and just do things so I wouldn't be scrambling. Like, I did go ahead and bring all the rosemary in. And I grew salvia this year, which is an annual here. And I dug it up and brought it in. Quite a few of them, about six, because when I was in Paris, I was walking down the street and there was this planter and there was a salvia that was like 5 feet tall. And I thought, oh, snap. I got to try that.
Yeah.
So I brought four. I brought the little, like the little, there's a little purple variety that's really kind of quintessential. I brought that in and it did really good. And I had that flanking my carrot bed just to give some, I always plant flowers with my vegetables. It's potager. So I had that at the end of my carrot bed, which was really pretty. And then I had the other variety in with my lavender. And so I brought both of those in. One's gone into shock, but the other one, it's probably 3.5-4 feet wide by 3 feet.
Jeez.
In a planter in my conservatory now, right in front of my tonal. Jeez. So I can look at it while I work out. It's pretty dang stunning. Brought my mandevilla in. So I did, I'm pleased to have done that. So we're not getting the forecast of, you know, my phone blowing up at 4:30 with locals texting me that it's going to frost, and then you're getting out the hand cart and you're lugging everything in, you know? So, yeah.
I know. Yes. We have citrus trees that are outside in pots, and those are like the very first thing that have to come in.
I know. Mine are like in the hoop house. I got to bring them in. So,
We should cue the wine music. Stuart just brought me a wine that I wanted to share with you. And then if we want to talk a little bit more about the garden, then let's do that.
Okay.
Why don't you do our intro, and then I will try to figure out how I'm going to pronounce this in front of all these people.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So if you have not yet, then we invite you to visit dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic. dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic. Place your first order. You're going to get an extra bottle for a penny. But here's why we think you should do that. Because we're talking about the garden and we're talking about all things natural and beautiful and alive. And that is what this wine is. So there's no genetically modified yeast. There's no added sugar. In fact, when you flip these bottles around, you're going to see a very low alcohol content. And that's your indicator that no extra sugar has been added. So you're not going to get that nasty, like, I know a lot of you are working out. We're going to talk about that next week. You're not going to get that belly bloat after having a glass of dry farm wines. Mm-hmm. Not going to get that pesky headache when you have a glass of white wine. I know a lot of women complain about getting a headache from a glass of white wine. These are beautiful wines that really complement many of the natural health decisions that you're making in your kitchen and in your garden for yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm. This is a wine that I had last night. Mm-hmm. And it's, I really struggle going back and forth between a French tongue, I'm so good at that, and an Italian tongue, I'm also so good at. And because you land at mouth. Italian. And also, I have my braces in. And so it's like you add in the list. With the French, with the Italian training I've been doing, and it's just a recipe for rank disaster.
Fabulous.
But I know this is not that complicated. Le Grand Blanc. You're welcome.
Is there an E at the end of that, or is it just a C?
Just a C.
Okay, so don't pronounce that. Just
Blanc. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Chateau du Marand. Can you see this?
Merand. So there, because of the E at the end, then you are going to pronounce that D. There you go. You're welcome.
Really appreciate rules like that. If I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't like that.
I don't really appreciate.
I studied French for, believe it or not, a few years. And what I love, I was looking through my Italian grammar book the other day, and it was like, you pronounce all the words. I'm like, or all the letters in a word. I'm like, okay. I can do that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There's no imaginary. There's literally words in French where like the last three, four.
Oh, yeah.
You're just not, you just kind of fade off.
Yeah. And you're just,
I tell people, like, just peter out at the end, just slowly, like, fade to black.
Okay. This is a 100% Roussan.
Oh.
Have you heard of this variety? I had never heard of this variety. So this is a white wine. When I drank it, I always like to try to guess where it's from. I didn't pour this. Stu opened this and poured it for me. And I said that tastes like a Northern Italian wine to me, like somewhere
up
there.
I'm pulling it up now. I want to see it.
And it's actually made in the Southeast of France. It's a region there. The region is Savoy. S-O-A-O-C-S-A-V-O-I-E. So I don't know how you pronounce
it. I'm sorry.
That.
I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at this. Great.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
It's from the Southeast. So I'm like, that kind of makes sense. I think that's why that tasted like that to me, because that's kind of where it meets up with Italy. Anyway, This wine, I think, will be very similar. Ours will be a red wine, the one that we made at home. But I think it's going to taste actually fairly similar to this, because when grapes are allowed to grow until there's a certain sugar content, then the resulting wine will be really like dried fruity, really a little bit more like fruity fudgy. We all kind of know those wines, like spicy in that really dried fruit kind of way. And then there are wines that are harvested when the sugar is a little bit less, and you end up with these really vibrant, really tanniny, a little bit sharper wines. Uh-huh. That's what ours will be based on the sugar content that we harvested it at, which I love. I love that like really vibranty, puckery kind of a wine. Anyway, that's what this one was like. So if you're looking for a really, really, really good white wine that is not sweet, that will kind of cut through things, which I think is a really great Thanksgiving wine, this Le Grand Blanc is a really beautiful white wine to try.
Okay. Is it Roussanne?
Yes.
Roussanne. Okay. It says it's grown in other areas of France, but it's the main white in the Chenin and the Savoie AOC. So
Savoie. Savoie? Is that what you
said? There it's known as Bergeron and produces much higher. So would you describe it as highly acidic? It says highly acidic and highly aromatic.
Exactly. There you go.
Okay.
Yep. Really beautiful white wine. So dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic is where you can go. And you can choose to have 3 or 6 or 9 bottles. They do a little 3-pack of bubbly, which would be a great one to sort of cut your dry farm's teeth on if you're not sure what we're talking about when we talk about these wines being alive and vibrant. Dry Farms has really done the work for us of finding excellent, healthy, naturally made wines and delivering them to your doorstep. So they take a lot of the legwork out, which I'm really grateful for.
Yes.
So visit them, dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. They have a really great little chat thing, and you can mention that you would really like to give this bottle a try. You can even search it on their website and look more about it. Le Grand Blanc. Blanc.
Oh, yeah.
That's just good. That's just great. I'm really great at foreign languages.
I've never heard you speak Italian.
I usually speak it to myself. I have my earphones on and I listen to my audiobooks. Paul Noble is teaching me to speak Italian.
Okay.
I did great when I was in Italy. In context, you pick up things so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, let's go or let's eat or stop talking. Stop it. You know, like you can, and you just pick it up and it's not even, it's a non-issue. And I so badly while we were there just wished, like, man, I wish I could just come here for like 2 hours a day and just pop in, learn in context, leave. Because learning in isolation, learning a language in isolation is really hard. I do not have an Italian speaking community around me at all. And so that makes it really difficult. But I just tell myself, look, if you just plug away on this every day in a year, you're going to be way closer
right
than you are now.
Yeah.
So just don't even think about trying to learn Italian. Don't think about trying to become fluent. Just, can you just do it and speak it and listen to it for 30 minutes a day? Just do that. Just do that. Don't think about what you're trying to do or how long it's going to take to get there.
Yeah. I definitely did my best this trip, but I've been, you know, doing tutoring and gosh, I got a frog in my throat. Yeah. There were a few times where I just said, I'm sorry, this is so fast. And you're using words I've never heard before. I don't know what sort of casual street slang you're incorporating, but like, I got nothing. Mm-hmm. I did find this fun gal on Instagram that does sort of like a schoolroom French versus real life French. And she'll do like a lot of slides and it'll say what you learned, what we say, what you learned, what we say, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. But I was quite proud of myself because I did get in an argument with someone behind the counter at the Metro, on the Metro.
Oh, so
I was throwing down.
Were you really? What happened?
I was so mad because our tickets weren't working. And she was telling me, I'm going to let you through. Just go through and it will work. And it was not working. I'm not stupid. I'm standing here. I'm putting the thing in, like, you're watching me. This is not my fault. Mm-hmm. I know you want it to be my fault. This is not my fault. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very angry.
Mm. And you actually thought to respond in French. That's pretty good.
Oh, no, we were arguing. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. I was like throwing my Parisian down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it was that's fun, awesome. Actually.
I got a little bit of a rush from it.
That's amazing. You know, yeah. We had this moment where, you know, so Dolores, you guys can check her out, Bella Fergara podcast. She is incredibly fluent in Italian. But we met up with this ricotta maker one night. It's dark. We're doing this by like spotlight out in this courtyard. We're making this ricotta. It was just incredible. But he was speaking and she's like, I don't know what he's saying, because it was such a like country dialect of Sicilian. I mean, from village to village, it's almost completely different. It's crazy. And, you know, it was like a vocab that she wasn't familiar with at all. Mm-hmm. And I was really testing her too, because we go to this cheesemaker. I'm like, can you ask him if he uses like this rennet from the calf or this or da da? And she's like, I don't know what rennet is. Like,
right?
No one knows what that vocab word is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like running across these really tricky, really specific words that were really tricky. But we also got into a fight with somebody on the boat. It was interesting. Like, the mask thing wasn't an issue at all in Italy anywhere, except for when you took the ferries between the islands.
And out on the fresh air, the sea breeze.
Of islands, like, with 70 people. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, not only masks, but they required N95 masks. And so we don't quite understand this. So we're in line, and we had been on the ferries before, but they were just like, no one cares. Mm-hmm. But this particular ferry did care. And so they were like, you can't get on the boat. And there's 9 of us. There's like 12 people on the ferry. We're 9 of the tickets, you know? And so a couple of the people, like, they pull out their masks and they're like, no, you can't have those masks. Like, you have to have N95 masks. And they're like, I'm like, we're on Alicudi. Like, there's one restaurant and one store.
It's a pin dot in the middle of the Med.
Where would you like me to get an N95 mask?
Pray
you
tell.
Pray tell. Right. Pray
oh,
tell.
My goodness.
Anyway, I was so amazed at Dolores, man. She just, like, she threw down with this guy and she was just like, do not be ridiculous. Like, if you have masks, we will wear them. But you're not going to tell us, with all of our luggage and kids and bags, and we're 75% of your ferry, that we're not going to get on this, you know? Yeah. And it was amazing. And
I don't know what it is. My girls were like, dang, mom. Because the audience doesn't know this, but I have argued with Secret Service before. And so that's the reputation I have with my children. Well, she argues with Secret Service. Of course, she's going to throw down with a Metro employee. So
she'll do it.
She'll do it.
It's funny. You do kind of get into survival mode a little bit when you travel like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there was one moment where we were buying parking tickets and the people were just so frustrated with us that we were taking longer than we wanted. They wanted us to take the people in line behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, back off.
Yeah.
We're allowed to buy a ticket and put it on our car the same as you are.
Mm-hmm.
So could you give us 20 seconds of patience, please? Right. I did not say that in Italian, but you know, you get the idea.
Right.
Scusi, back off. Como se dice, back off.
My spuckalafach, that's what we say in our family in the Italian. I think that's equivalent to like, shut up in your face. That's what my Italian family is always like.
My parents took one of those genetic tests.
Okay.
I have not taken one, but my parents took one and my mom sent me the results while I was there. We were kind of inquiring and I was like, I think my parents did this. So I asked her, I said, hey, can you send me those results?
I have this feeling that you're like as white as the day is long.
Is
that what you're about to say?
So white.
Nailed it.
And so like I'm just like northern whiteness. Like it's just northern go further north and get whiter. There is nothing. I mean, of course, just like most, you know, Western Europeans, like you get British, you know,
right.
There's that Anglo-Saxon blood that just sort of travels through everybody.
Right.
And usually same thing. There's some sort of Germanish stuff somewhere, although I don't remember actually seeing any German. Anyway, it was just Swedish and Norwegian, of course. So Drew, Dolores's husband, who we were traveling with, it was so hot. Like hot does not begin to describe how hot like Cefalu is in August.
Is it humid hot or like?
It's like you genuinely are closer to the surface of the sun. I mean, I can handle hot and, mm-hmm. and I handled it fine, but it's like you're just sweating. There's no air conditioning anywhere.
No,
right.
No.
So it's like you're just sweating. It's just hot. And so we're all hot, you know, it's like when you're in a stressful situation, you got the baby stroller and like you're moving, you're trying to get stuff and find a parking or whatever it is. And Drew was just like, next trip, we are going to see your family. In Norway.
Do you herring?
I hear it's colder there this time.
Pickled herring? Anyone?
Next time we choose somewhere cold. Go further north.
That's funny.
For the past 3 years, I've encouraged women in their kitchen with new whole food recipes and instructional cooking videos. If you've been needing a little more pep in your step when it comes to cooking delicious food, I want to personally invite you right now to join the Elliott Homestead cooking community. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. As a cooking community member, you will get 5 farm fresh inspired recipes each month, created from my farm kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you an instructional video to go along with those recipes so that you can learn new skills and begin to enjoy new dishes and flavors. Together, we'll cook dishes like chicken Milanese, plum and marzipan bread pudding, homemade harissa with summer vegetables, barley and wild mushroom salad, sourdough English muffins, caramel apple cake, wine poached pears with blackberries and bay, and so much more. The cooking community is a place of inspiration and community where you can visit with other home cooks on our circle group or simply enjoy the bountiful recipes that you'll find each month in your mailbox or inbox. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now. Choose the membership package that's right for you and let's get cooking.
Hello, homemakers. I am inviting you to join my Old World Design Society because creating a home isn't just about the homemaker's duties. It's also about creating beauty and having a home that is aesthetically pleasing and a reflection of your personal style. So if you lean towards a love of timeless style, then the Old World Design Society is just for you. Membership starts at just $5 a month, which means you can attend my monthly interior design classes and have access to the design forum where you can interact with design enthusiasts, both professional and amateur. There's even a quarterly magazine, print or digital, that comes with a free society membership. This fall, we're looking at interior design principles and how to incorporate those into our homes. The magazine will feature some incredible spaces from England, New England, and beyond. So visit oldworld.parisianfarmgirl.com. Our next design class will be in October after I get back from Paris, and I'd love to have you there. I will have plenty of Old World inspo for you. So select the basic membership or treat yourself to the magazine by visiting oldworld.parisianfarmgirl.com.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, we flew back through Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and I didn't really realize even how, because maybe I shouldn't even say this. I don't even know quite how I'm trying to say it, but it was really interesting to land in Amsterdam and be like, I kind of look like everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I wasn't really even thinking about that being in Italy. I wasn't thinking I look different than everybody. Although I did have a bunch of people tell me how tall I was because I'm 5'7", which is not that tall, but apparently it's taller than most people there in Italy. But it was weird getting there and just being like, huh, genetically, this makes sense. What's going on here?
Right.
I see some similarities. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
I don't even know where we were going with that.
I don't know. We were talking about wine. That was
as it happens. We should answer some questions.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Do I have any?
I might have some too.
Okay.
okay, mm-hmm. hold on. Let me switch over here. You always forget to check the hidden folder.
I know. I always do. You check that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You recently mentioned intermittent fasting. Just curious what your thoughts are on this trend.
I pretty much do that. I mean, I'm done eating by 6,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really start again until about 10 the next day.
10, that's late.
Yeah. I don't like mm-hmm. to eat in the morning. It grosses me out. I don't like to eat early. I'll just crack out on coffee and then
get nice and shaky, get a good, like angry nice buzz going. And then,
yeah. Yeah. And I drink a lot of milk, so I don't need to eat. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I don't like going to bed with food in my stomach. Like, so
yes.
I'd rather just feel like cleaned out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Plus I work out first thing in the morning, so mm-hmm. I can't be bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's pretty good for you. I mean, digestion is really hard on your body. I mean, it's what your body's supposed to do, but it takes a lot of work for your body to do that. So to me, it makes sense to give it a break
mm-hmm.
overnight when your body's doing all of its repair, restorative work. So,
mm-hmm.
what say you?
I don't know enough really to answer this question. I very much follow it sort of naturally, like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We usually have about 14 hours between when we're finished eating dinner and then when we have breakfast the next morning. That being said, I do think people see really good results with it, but it's a whole correlation versus causation. Is it because they're intermittent fasting, or is it because they're being a lot more aware of what's going into their body and they're not doing the midnight snack of
they're
ice
not
cream
emotional
or cereal
eating,
or
not
like
Netflix eating at 9:30.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And so mm-hmm. what came first, the chicken or the egg? I mm-hmm. don't know.
Right.
But I'm like you. I do not sleep well when I have a lot of food in my stomach at all. I hate mm-hmm. that feeling.
Yeah.
So I like to give myself nice time to just sort of empty and digest and be and go to bed feeling kind of.
You know, I do like to eat at night. Eating at night, I like to eat by myself.
Salsa in her bed by herself.
Right? You don't know the story of me spilling salsa in my nightstand drawer and leaving it there for the better part of 6 months. Go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like to eat by myself. I like to, or you know, like if I'm watching something by myself or whatever, but I, at night, if I am going to eat something, if I get the munchies or whatever, I'll have if we have chocolate in the house, I'll have a piece of dark chocolate or I'll have a slice of cheese. I try to make it something. I don't eat a carb at night. I don't ever eat carbs at night. Ever. Like,
I never think about carbs. That's just like not a word I even think about.
Yeah, I just don't.
I make hot chocolate. If I want to make something at night, I'll make myself like a big old mug of hot chocolate. That's what I like. Just cocoa powder, maple syrup, and just like just warm milk. Yeah. Okay, here's another one from Emily. Yeah. I was wondering if you ladies cut your husband's and children's hair. And if so, whether you have any tips or resources for scaling up in that area.
I do. I cut, well, my husband cuts his own hair, but I did for a long time. But I cut my boy's hair. And my two older daughters just started getting, well, they're pretty much full on salon at this point. But for the better part of forever, I cut everybody's hair. And I always ask my, I have just a phenomenal stylist. So I ask him for tips and like how to, if somebody gets bangs, like how do I clean these bangs up myself? Or I can give a mean A-line bob. but he's just, you know, given me pointers. And I did get a long time ago, someone gave me, maybe they use these at the salon. I don't know, but I got dog grooming scissors. And they're like the, they kind of go like this. They have like teeth and they kind of make a, an abrasive sound, you know? And that was really great for like thinning out. My kids have a lot of hair. They're my kids, you know? So I use the clippers like on the boys and then I clean it up with the dog scissors. but I don't do it wet. I have to do it dry because at least then I can see what's happening. Obviously, you have to be professional to do it.
Yeah.
For it to make sense, you know, to be able to predict the outcome. So
I
would watch YouTube tutorials. YouTube is an excellent, excellent resource. That's where I learned how to do the bob.
Yep.
And I think I'm pretty good. I mean, it's saved a lot. I get really expensive haircuts. So that's my justification. It's like, look at all the money I'm saving us so that four times a year I can get a really nice haircut. So,
there you go. I do not cut hair anymore. I did for many, many, many years. And then Stuart said to me one time, I always could only do one haircut and I called it the Stuart. Like, would you like the Stuart or the Stuart? Because that's the only haircut I know how to do. So I would cut his hair and he said to me, this was probably just like a year ago. He said, I think maybe I'll go see a barber. And I was like, that's a great idea.
So
he went and he came back and I was like, oh, like.
There's the difference between a home manicure and a professional.
And there was a time
right
when it got us through. But my kids also have blonde straight hair and you cannot hide anything with blonde straight hair. Like any flub you make is incredibly obvious. It's really difficult. It's very difficult hair to cut.
Right.
Anyway, so our boys and Stuart just within the last like 6 months to a year started going to a barber and I'm really grateful. I love it. Mm-hmm. They go, I clean the kitchen and then they come back looking all clean and sharp and dapper. And I just love it. I delight in it. So when we just redid our budget, I accounted for that because it's not super cheap. You can spend a lot of money on haircuts, especially boys, because they have to get it cut.
They have to get it cut all the time. Yeah.
Especially if they have blonde, straight hair, because it doesn't grow. Like there's Stuart has really gorgeous, like brunette, wavy hair. Like my boys' hair does not grow like that. They just look like hillbillies. So anyway, but yeah, go to YouTube.
Definitely.
Here's another question from Elise.
Okay.
My husband has celiac disease. I want to cook some lovely homemade bread, but I don't know where to start with the gluten-free process. I have searched the internet and thousands of suggestions come up, but I would love to hear any ideas, tips, or tricks that you have.
I don't. I just know it can be done.
Yeah.
Darla's husband was recently diagnosed with celiac. And so, you know, her and I always vowed we would never, ever, ever go gluten-free. Like, that would just be terrible, pitiful, blah, 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 you know? Yeah. And now she's like gluten-free sourdough starter. Like, she's full on. She's had to adjust her entire kitchen. And she is a baker, so I know it can be done. I know she's not making slop.
Yeah.
But I don't have links or resources.
I know it really does matter what sort of flours that you're using, because what can happen is that instead of having a nice protein rich flour, rather, what you can end up with is just zero protein and straight starch, which is what a lot of gluten-free flours are. They're just starch. So I know a lot of gluten-free bakers will go to things like rice flour, for example. I know Jovial has a very highly rated gluten-free flour, and I've seen Carla do amazing things with it. So if something were to happen in my family where we would have to transition, that is where I would go. I would go to jovialfoods.com. They have a blog there. And Carla, before she passed away, she recorded and documented a lot of gluten-free recipes. And I would use their gluten-free flour because I trust their
That would
discretion.
Be like the only thing I would trust as far as taste, knowing you weren't going to end up with something that tastes like ground chalk.
Or just have a bunch of fillers that really aren't good. It's not great to give your body 150 grams of just straight starch. Like, that's not a good thing for your body.
Right.
So that's where I would go, Elise, if you need some resources on some of that. I always tell my cooking community, like, I'm sorry that I don't have more resources for you on gluten-free, but we're not gluten-free. And so I can't pretend that would be like a gluten-free baker baking with gluten. Like, it's just not what they do. Anyway, but there are some great resources out there. Okay. Here's one from Tina. Do you have anything specific for liver and kidney health? I do. Tina.
Okay.
There's a couple of things. The first thing that comes to my mind is like supporting like in the body, meaning if you want to improve your liver function, for example, you can supplement and support your liver by eating liver. The same is true for like naturally boosting your testosterone or reproductive health. You'll see encapsulated like beef testicles, which, okay, like have your little fourth grade like giggle, but like it's a real thing. This is like, it is actually a food and a supplement that people take. Like supports like. So brain, kidney, liver, pancreas, and testicles are the first thing that come to my mind. There's a really great brand called Vital Protein, I believe.
Yeah.
Vital protein.
So. Let me check. That's what I take.
Really, really important that you source these things well, that it comes from really well-raised animals.
Vital proteins.
But that I would go for liver and kidney. I would take that. I do take that. I take a beef organs one and a beef liver one every day. You don't have to like the taste of liver. You can just take the capsules or just make like a really delicious liver pate or something if you're not super keen on the flavor. The second thing that I would recommend would be a red light support therapy. This is a very easy, non-invasive way to support all of your stuff, your skin, your digestion, your sleep, sore muscles, kidney function, liver function, all the things. It's really uncomplicated. And there's really great science to support its efficacy. So would you add anything to that?
We need, no, I take the beef liver from Vital Proteins. And in the past I've taken a liver support, from Dr. Mercola, but I don't remember what's in it. I was going to pull up our red light. We just need to do a health episode. Darn it.
Yeah, we should.
We get asked all the time about, the red light, the sauna, the supplements, platinum therapy.
Platinum therapy. Platinum lights. Therapy is the red lights. Yep.
I think you got the same one I did. Yeah.
Yes. That's the
red light.
Okay. Here is the question from Ashley.
Okay.
I want to make your toothpaste, but didn't remember everything you said. The toothpaste was a big one. So we need to add that to our health episode as well. So the homemade toothpaste that I make, it's about equal parts baking soda and coconut oil. Then I add in, see, there's not really a recipe. I add in
I got
little,
it here. I wrote it down
a little bit of olive oil. I think olive oil is.
Go ahead. Coconut oil.
Yep.
Half coconut oil, half activated charcoal. So 50-50.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
1 teaspoon of baking soda.
There you go. That's what I meant.
Essential oil of choice and trace minerals.
There you go.
That's what I've gotten written down from last time.
I would add to that like a tablespoon of olive oil I've started to use as well. My teeth have just been a little bit more sensitive and just a little bit more irritated since I've been starting to do my Invisalign. And I'm brushing and flossing like 3 times a day because it's gross to put them in when your teeth are dirty.
Yeah.
I have really good oral health right now. Anyway, and so the olive oil just kind of helps to kind of soothe everything. I really like it.
I think I mentioned this last time too, but I'll just do it again because not everybody listens to every episode or whatever. I have found I don't know if we're calling it a functional dentist, about 2 hours from here, and I'm really excited. And I found it via a search option on Dr. Mark Burhens website. He's on Instagram as Ask the Dentist, and there's just so much to learn there. He's got a great feed, and then he's got a link in with all his options and everything that you can click and learn more, and then you can type your zip code in and find a like-minded functional dentist. He's got a functional dentist directory on his link, which is excellent.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, here is a potentially divisive question from Chloe.
Oh my.
How do you ladies celebrate Halloween with your kids?
All right. Well, I'm not like, okay, I'll do this one. I love costumes. I love dress up. I love that creativity. I always have. That was big when we were kids. We made homemade costumes. We never bought them. We weren't allowed to buy them. We had to like get creative and work with what we had. And I've just since then, I've always loved dress up. You can see that on my Instagram feed. My daughters and I dress up. It's like a makeup artist challenge type thing. I just really enjoy that as like just a silly artistic expression with my girls. I am not so religiously or whatever you want to call it. I'm not opposed to calling it Halloween. I'm not going to go, we don't call it Halloween. You know, I don't care. I'll call it Halloween. But we typically refer to it as Reformation Day. Like if that's, cause that's what I want them to remember what the day is. And we do partake. I mean, if the kids get invited to a costume party or something, we go. I've been known to host our own. I think I'm hosting one this year. I don't really want to. but yeah, I'm not like really dogmatic about it. There's a few things like they're not allowed to be anything ghoulish. And that's not even a struggle because they don't want to.
Yeah.
They're always trying to be really historical or creative or whatever, you know, period of time or person in history they're interested in that comes out. So I feel like I'm really laid back about it and I've been able to be. It hasn't been anything where I've had to like put my foot down or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think I would give almost the same answer. Other than we're also in like a church culture that is very right. We're very Protestant. Like we're Protestant by choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's a conviction that we're Protestant. Mm-hmm. And so we do make a big stink about Reformation Day. You guys are unfamiliar with the history. October 31st was when Martin Luther, a German monk, put the 95 theses on the doors and said, hey, I've got these 95 issues with what's going on in the Catholic Church right now. And so, you know, the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation was brewing heavily before that, but that's sort of what we look back as now is like this this real watershed moment of the Reformation. And so we do have a big Reformation party, a big Reformation Day party on October 30th or 31st, usually with our church. And so the kids do get to be dressed up, and we come and we do games and we do candy, but it's just, it's not celebrating anything dark or evil or gross. It's just a fun party. So kind of just keep it in between the rails.
What is, we listen to something every year. Did you introduce me to that?
Yeah.
Was it you? It's so good. What is that? It's like a,
it's like a six part series.
It sounds like old timey radio though. There's like sound effects, and it really helps the kids understand like what happened.
I think it's called Luther.
Is it a podcast?
What is it called? If there's a podcast, it's like a six part podcast. Oh, dang it. I can't believe I forgot that. It's so good. Okay, we'll put a link for that if we can't find it. Summer asked us, do you have favorite kinds of tea?
Oh,
I don't like tea.
At all?
It hurts my stomach. If you give me a cup of black tea in the morning, I will throw up on
you. Oh, no, I can't drink tea in the morning.
What is with that?
I throw up pardon me, everyone. I vomit every I cannot drink tea in the morning.
Because it's not the caffeine. I drink black coffee on an empty stomach every day.
Yeah, is it?
I don't know.
I cannot. Acid, because the coffee is super acidic.
I cannot drink
tea. I don't get it. I didn't know that about you. I can't do it. No.
Earl Grey tea is my favorite because I make London Fogs out of it. I mix it with milk and maple syrup, and it's Earl Grey tea, steamed milk. Earl Grey tea is a black tea that has a bergamot oil in it. Really distinct flavor. So that, besides just herbal teas, I love herbal teas sometimes. Good blends.
I like a good cup. I grow chamomile so I can drink it. I love chamomile and honey.
Chamomile floats me. Why?
If I drink a cup of like chamomile, a stomach soother.
No, peppermint tea. If I make like homemade peppermint tea, even with my mint, bleh, I don't like
really?
It.
Really?
Nope.
Okay, look what I'm holding here. So we found this little shop in Paris and we sort of freaked out. Everything's so tiny. The shops are so tiny. And this had like black and white floor, you know, like your Harlequin, but it was carpet. So it was really cushy. Like really, I can't open this. I want to show it to you. And it was a tea shop and just walls looked like something out of Outlander, like Claire's surgery.
Apothecary.
It had just these beautiful walnut walls with little brass like scoops that you pulled out of the wall so you could smell each thing. And I can't get it open. If I do, it's just going to pop and go everywhere. Darn, I want you to see it. It's so gorgeous. This one is called 14 September, 14th of September. Orange and gosh, I can't tell. Looks like she hand wrote the flavor.
Oh yeah, pretty.
But I got like this big tin. This place was just dreamy. It had old globes on the ceiling, like up high. Everything was just brass, really quiet.
Yeah.
It was just
beautiful.
Fabulous. It smelled so good.
That's the kind of stuff that makes you want to live in a big city. You're like, I want specialty shops.
I want specialty shops. Yeah.
I will say I do
here,
make
look,
a lot
I got
of
it. Look.
Oh yeah. Look at that. That's beautiful.
I mean, it just smells like I hate potpourri, but it smells like potpourri. Like you just would want to leave it out.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So I'm not a big tea person. Like I like made some coffee. But this was so beautiful. I had to have it. So
I do make chai a lot for my family. So I make my own
I make chai concentrate.
Yeah. Like, it's like a chai concentrate. So star anise, allspice, cloves, cinnamon. What am I missing?
I think orange, like a dehydrated.
Yeah. You can add ginger or orange peel. Yeah. You know, all those really like traditional, very warming.
I use black pepper. Corns.
Thank you. Yeah. Black peppercorns. But instead of putting black tea in, I put, wait for it. I don't use black tea anymore.
Vodka? No, it's just
mostly because I find sourcing really good tea to be very difficult. I don't like buying them in the little like bleached bags. I just, I don't really know a lot of tea brands. I don't follow it close enough to know, is this a good brand or am I giving my kids a bunch of fluoride? I don't know. And so I use a mushroom powder, like a mushroom tea.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it's literally just, I buy it in a canister and it's just a bunch of mushrooms that are ground up. It doesn't taste like mushroom. And I just scoop some of that and it gives you that depth and good for your body. Mushrooms mm-hmm. are so good for your body. And you can't taste it through the cinnamon and everything.
Right.
So that's my way of sneaking it.
Yeah. I love my kids love it when I make the chai mm-hmm. concentrate.
So. Mm-hmm. I've been working really, really hard at, and this is a different episode, but maybe we can just kind of end with this thought.
Okay.
Working really hard at just like we talked about all the time, like not being the victim. Like, girl, you're going to make dinner either way. You're going to do the laundry either. What are you going to do? Sell your children? No. So like, you've got right. years ahead of you.
Yeah.
And so clean the kitchen. And make the scones and mop the floor.
Oh my gosh, you made the best batch this morning. Just because of what we talked about last week, I killed them this morning. They were gorgeous.
And yeah. everybody's happy. And it's like, mm-hmm. it really is these small ticks of the rudder where all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, mom, you made bread. Oh, you made chai tea so we could have tea. Mm-hmm. You made chai mm-hmm. so that we could have a nice warm cup of spicy milk while we do our school. Mm-hmm. Oh, you made an extra pot of soup. I've been trying so hard, and to see their little faces and just like the peace that it brings them when mom's mm-hmm. kind of got the next step accounted for is
yes.
such a joy.
Yeah,
it's so absolutely. Worth the effort. So good.
Mm.
Speaking
Wonderful.
Of effort,
what?
It's time to go work out.
Okay. So
but we need to thank House of Token for
we
sponsoring
do.
Season 13. Of Homemaker Chic podcast.
Yes. So you need to visit hotrugs.net. You could think that it stands for sexy rugs, but it actually stands for House of Tokeman. You can use the coupon code Homemaker25 for 25% off any full-size runner rug. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. We were talking the other day when we were recording, I was trying to find a knife so I could open mine. Mm-hmm. But I need to put another coat on my stairs. So for now, I have this runner in front of my sink. It's so beautiful. It's plush. These rugs are handmade. They are wool. They are heirloom quality. And they will withstand every beating you can give them. So
mm-hmm. I actually work out on one. I have one of House Tokeman's rugs underneath my tonal.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't buy the plastic. Don't buy the Target rug, invest in something beautiful for your home, yeah. especially with the holidays coming up. And it's nice to have something lovely underfoot on cool mornings. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. visit hotrugs.net, use the coupon code Homemaker25 for 25% off. House of Tokeman is this season sponsor. So they are taking care of business with us. And they want to mm-hmm. help you take care of business. Annabelle is just fantastic. So you can message her on Instagram, tell her what you're looking for, measurements, colors, and she will source the rug of your dreams if you do not see one already on her website. So she's mm-hmm. very, very skilled in finding you what you need.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Thank mm-hmm. you, Annabelle.
So you need to tune in next Monday. Make sure that you're a patron so you're watching the video versions of these shows so you can see any visuals that we reference. And then next week, we've got a great episode in store for you. So mark the calendar. And
yes.
Same bat time, same bat channel. And we're going to do this again.
Yeah. And if you have questions that come up or you want to share with us how you're taking care of business this season or how some of the past episodes from the season have sort of taken root in your home, we would love mm-hmm. to hear from you. So just visit us at Homemaker Chic Podcast on Instagram. You can message us there and that way we can see it. We can answer your questions during the Q&A part of the episode and hear from you.
Yes.
Apparently okay. my brain's done now. It's just like
bike drops.
Okay.
Okay,
lady. Back here with you next Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.